How many songs have we sung tonight? How many songs did we sing tonight?
Five, someone has said.
You can't remember, huh? It seems that's about all that we've been doing for the last half hour. And Philip said that songs is a form of what?
Worship.
Yes. You are made up of three parts. What three parts are you made of? Body, soul, spirit. And which part do you worship God with? Your soul is your personality. You have a body, you have a personality. We call that your soul. But it's your spirit. True? That's what worships God? Answer me.
Yes.
Our spirits worship God?
Yes.
Otherwise, why do we have a spirit? It's with our spirits that we worship God. And when we study God's word and when we hear his word, what part of our being is blessed? Through the word of God. Our bodies? Our personalities? Or our spirits? And so when the word of God comes forth, not only the singing and the worship, but the word of God speaks to our spirits. And we have to respond. Now, we gave you booklets, and we intend to use these booklets in the morning. All right? This morning we failed to do that. Do you have your books with you tonight?
Yes.
Okay, open them up. Every morning we're going to use these booklets in our morning Bible study. We're studying from what books? 1st, 2nd Thessalonians. Who were the Thessalonians? People. Where did they live? They lived in Thessalonica. Where is Thessalonica? Got a map in your mind? Israel, Palestine is over here. Then we come to Asia Minor, and then we come to Greece, and then we come to Rome, Europe, right? Where is Thessalonica?
Greece.
Say it. Someone said it.
Greece.
Where was Thessalonica? In Palestine?
Macedonia.
In Asia Minor?
Macedonia.
In Greece or in Rome?
Macedonia.
Yeah, where is Macedonia?
North of Greece.
Greece, okay.
It was in Europe.
Okay, Thessalonica is in Greece, all right? Now, when Paul came, did these people in Thessalonica know about Jesus Christ? There were Jews that were scattered all over from Palestine. They had moved, many Jews. And they were settled in Asia Minor. They were settled in Greece. And they were even in Rome, the Jews. The Jews had the right God. True? The only God. The Creator. The other people, they didn't. I always think it's strange. Why did God only reveal himself to the Jewish people? He didn't reveal himself to the other nations, did he? What were the other nations worshiping?
Idols.
Way from the beginning, they worshiped idols. What's an idol made out of? What did they make idols out of?
Wood.
Stone.
Metal.
Clay. Now you and I, would we worship such a thing?
No.
I mean in our mentality, in our, I think it's dumb, don't you? Isn't it dumb to worship something that's made with hands and say, my spirit is going to worship this idol? But they didn't know. If you think all the way back, way, way back, after Noah, those were the eight people that were on the earth. He spoke about God evidently, but in time to come, people didn't know about our God. And so they began making idols. What was one of the favorite idols in the Old Testament?
Baal.
Say it.
Baal.
Baal, yeah. Another one. Another idol. Begins with a D.
Diana.
No, that's not Old Testament.
Dagon.
Who?
Dagon.
Dagon. You know, that's an interesting idol. The Philistines' idol. And when Israel went out to fight with them, they took the Ark of the Covenant, that little box, you know? That was God's presence. And so they thought if they took God's presence with them in the Ark, they were going to win the battle. But they didn't. And the Philistines captured the Ark. And where did they take this box? They took it to Dagon's temple. Or where Dagon was, whether it was a temple or not. They took it to Dagon's temple. And what happened during the night to that idol?
It fell down.
What does that tell us? Who's stronger? Who's greater?
God.
Oh, God. So they stood him up again. And the next night, what happened? He fell again. And this time he broke his arm, he broke his head. He was laying on the floor. Which proved to them that our God is mightier than they. All right? And so all through history, there was so much idol worship. And when Paul came here to Thessalonica, there were Jews who knew the Jewish religion. They knew the great God. But they were looking for a Messiah. And when Paul spoke about Jesus, they rejected him. But then these Thessalonians who had been worshiping idols, they accepted. Now, in your book, let's look at the first chapter. Did you answer the questions? Anybody answer the questions? One, two. Oh, good, girls. Good, good. Very good. You've been an excellent group. Do you know that? When Brother Philip asks you to pray, you prayed this afternoon. You prayed one right after the other. That's a little bit unusual in a staff meeting, let me tell you. In past years, it's like pulling teeth to get some people to pray. And you've been obedient. You've been obedient in testifying. I want to commend you for that, too. You've been very free to do that. Have you been doing your books?
Yes.
Now, if you're a good student, you will do the book the night before lesson. Why? Is that a good idea? To read the chapter, what we're going to have tomorrow, which is the second chapter, you're going to read it, or you should have read it today if you're a student, and tomorrow morning you're going to come and you'll be fully prepared with all the answers, and you'll be able to take part. All right? We're going to go over these three questions. Ready? How was the gospel presented to the Thessalonians? How? And what kind of power, I guess, Philip meant? Someone stand up and read it. How was the gospel presented to the Thessalonians? Someone, stand up.
From the Bible or my answer?
How did you answer it? Where else would you get your answer than from the Bible, Ariel? Go ahead.
It was presented with the Holy Spirit, power, and deep conviction, and not only by words.
All right. The gospel was preached by Paul to these idol worshippers. And what happened to them? The next question, how was the gospel message received? I think they must have thought this very strange. They hadn't heard about this before. Many of them had never heard about Jesus Christ. They had never heard of the God who created us. I wonder how I would have reacted. How would you have reacted to Paul? What's this man talking about? There's a God that created us. He sent his son. His son died for our sins. He raised his son. He took his son back to heaven. And his son is coming back again to earth. What kind of preaching is this? Would it sound strange to you? You never heard it before? But how did some of them react? What two things marked... No, how was the gospel message received? Who has the answer? How was this gospel message received by these Thessalonians?
They welcomed the message with joy given by the Holy Spirit.
Someone else? The second question. How was the gospel message received? Now, you adults can reply, too. I'm not just talking to the staff, all right? How was the gospel message? Did they receive it? How?
With joy.
With joy. Something else?
Much affliction.
The what?
Much affliction.
Verse
6. I'll read it to you. They became followers of the Lord. You get your answer right from the verses there. All right? They became followers of the Lord. They received the word in much affliction with joy, and they became examples to all. All right, the next question. What two things mark the Thessalonians' experience in Christ? Verse 9 and 10. What happened to them after they received this message?
They turned from idols.
Say it.
They turned from idols.
They turned from their idols to who?
To God.
To the living God. All right. And?
They awaited his return.
To wait for God's Son from heaven. Imagine, Jesus had just gone to heaven maybe 60 years before. And now Paul was telling him he's coming back again. I'm sure this sounded very strange to them, but they believed it, all right? And I want to do a little study on the word idol. All right? They turned from their idols to serve the true and living God. All right? Had Paul experienced idol worship at any other church in Greece or any other city? Had Paul run into any idol worship in Greece before he came here? They were great worshippers of idols. What were their idols besides a figure? What did they worship? Ancient history, you don't know it? What did people worship those days? The sun. They worshiped the moon. They worshiped the planets. They worshiped women. They worshiped men. Can you name a name of a woman they worshiped? The name begins with a D.
Diana.
What?
Diana
of the Ephesians. And the people in that city, especially the man who made these idols of Diana, the silversmith, he became very angry when people were turning away from her worship. Why did he become angry? He wasn't making any more money. And so they chased Paul out. But another time, they were in Lystra, and Paul began to preach. Barnabas began to preach. Paul healed a sick man, an impotent man in his feet. And what did the people say that Paul and Barnabas were? Oh, these men are
gods.
They're gods. What are their names?
Jupiter.
They're Jupiter. They called who Jupiter? Barnabas was Jupiter. And they called Paul. Didn't you ever read this? This is in the book of Acts. They called Paul Mercury because he was chief speaker. He said, these gods have come down to earth in human form. That's right in the book of Acts. So these Ephesians believed in Jupiter, Mercury, and they called them, you're the gods come down from heaven. And Diana, well, I don't know where she came from, but they made her an idol. And so this is what these people were up against. And Paul says, now they stopped serving idols, and you're serving the living God. All right, what was the next question? What verses speak to you? And I wrote down the idol verse spoke to me. Because we, as Americans, I don't think we would make idols out of wood and stone and clay or metal and worship them. But do we have idols?
Yes.
Think. An idol is something that you worship, or something, or someone that you put before who?
God.
You put it before God. And you give your time and your interest to something or somebody, and it becomes an idol. You know, I noticed we sang called unto holies just before. And you know what it says in one of the verses? Called from the world and its idols to flee. You know how many times you've sung that? Yes? We're called from this world and its idols to flee. What are the idols that we Americans, not us Christians, of course, maybe, what do we worship here in America? That's an idol.
The dollar.
Pardon?
The dollar.
Yes, they call it the mighty dollar. Put that down. Someplace on your sheet. Idols that we are guilty of worshiping. The dollar. Money. Does that take people's time and interest? I think so. All right? Something else.
Some people idolize preachers.
Speeches?
Preachers.
Yeah. Oh, you have an idol preacher?
Don't laugh.
I get telephone calls from people who attend camp all year, all summer long. And some of them say, oh, I like so-and-so. He preaches so well. And then another one said, oh, no, I didn't like that preaching. He's so boring. And another one said, oh, the other one, he talks too long. But this other one, he tells jokes, and he's really on fire. He talks loud, and we can understand him. We have idols. Yes or no? Let's be honest. I like this preacher, but I don't like the other one. And we set preachers up like idols, and that's wrong. They are all the servants of God. Every minister that attends camp is different. And you shouldn't dare say anything about any of them. Don't you dare say anything about me. Because I'm not a preacher. I'm just a preacher's wife. But don't let me hear any reports. That's Sister Martha. Unless you say something good. No, but we're guilty. We're guilty of setting up idols. And I know because I hear it. Okay, I get reports. And that's wrong. Now, I don't know why you said that.
Because I've seen it.
All right. Something else that Americans worship.
Movie stars.
Say it loud.
Movie stars. Like Michael Jackson. Movie stars.
Movie stars? Are movie stars idols? Yes. Movie stars are idols. Yes. What else is an idol?
Your cell phone.
What? I didn't hear it. Say it loud.
Cell phones. The cell phone.
Cell phone.
The cell phone. You carry it around with you wherever you go. And you're forever talking into it. And as soon as it rings, what do? Let it ring. No, you right away, you bop. And then you're like this, right? And it takes your time. No, this is true. It takes your time, and it takes your interest. No matter how well you love your friends, watch out how much you talk on your telephone. Be careful. It's your time. It becomes an idol. Oh, I haven't got my cell phone with me. Oh, how am I going to exist today? You see, I'm telling you the truth, right? I have a cell phone. I keep it off. Now, wait a minute. I'll take the off. Only two people have my cell phone number. The only reason why my children gave me a cell phone for Christmas 2 years ago, in case I got in trouble because I'm still driving a car. All right? In case I get in trouble, I have a cell phone handy that I can call for help. All right? It's the only reason why I have a cell phone. If I go shopping, then I call my husband. I say, I'm coming home now, 15 minutes. Be downstairs to empty the car, the trunk of my groceries. But only two people have my cell phone. I don't want to be bothered all day. Come on. I have so many important things to do. I have a phone in my house. So why do I need a cell phone? So that cell phone is off. You can't call me. I only call someone when... It's not my idol. And you know that that thing is an idol, isn't it? Yes? No?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Thank you, Michael. Now, look. We're not guilty of stone and metal and wood stones, but we are guilty of these things. Something else, and you've missed it.
TV.
What?
TV.
TV. TV?
Yeah.
Almost every American family has a blue idol in their living room. What's the blue idol? The TV. Doesn't it come on blue when it comes? No? A blue glow? Is the TV an idol? Now, let's be honest. Does it take our time? Does it take our interest? Well, there are good programs, but far and few between. I don't even like to listen to the news because every few minutes they got an advertisement, buy a Honda, buy a Toyota. That doesn't make news, and that TV can be an idol. It can be. It takes our time, and it takes our interest. Now, I see something as I'm flicking stations. One station, it's a crazy station. It says, American Idol. I know they're dancing and they're singing crazy songs. And I just keep going, you know. But now tell me, I'm being serious now. What is the American Idol?
It's a singing competition.
It's what?
A singing competition.
A singing competition.
Yeah.
Okay.
Voted by Americans.
So why are they saying American Idol? They want to find out.
If you're the best singer, then you're the American Idol.
If you're the best singer,
then you're the American Idol.
I think I put my husband on, right?
I'll vote.
You'll vote? But they got three people, they're judging you, right? And the one that I said was, I heard was fired, the lady they fired?
Yeah.
All right, but all right, singers and dancers, right? That's idols to people, and they sit and they watch each competition, and you maybe vote for it yourself. Well, I think this one is good. I don't think that one. But you see how we can get captivated? I'm just trying to be real, all right? This is not so spiritual, but I'm just trying to show you.
Spiritual.
It is spiritual. I mean, it takes our time, it takes our interest, it takes our talking. Right now, you've missed one that... I'm sorry.
Computer.
That's a dangerous idol. The computer is a dangerous idol. I know it has a lot of good qualities, but the computer and the internet... Why do kids turn off the computer or the internet when their mother comes into the room? Are you laughing? Why do you do that? Why do you turn off what you're watching when your mother or father comes into the room?
My mom doesn't like the look of rock stars.
Your mother doesn't want you to look at that.
She doesn't like the Mohawk thing.
No, listen, I'm not fooling now. Young people, there is garbage. There is evil on the internet. And how many children have been drawn into things that are very, very wicked? And you, as a Christian, should not do it. You ought to know what you should look at and what you shouldn't. You know, because God sees you. God sees what you're looking at. Do you know that? God sees it. He knows when you put on the pornography station. He knows that. He knows what's in your heart. I just heard of a girl that this is so crazy. I understand that you can, she, I don't know if I even should tell you. Don't you ever send your picture to the internet. It's idol worship. And it's bad. It's very bad. And it's bad for our children. So parents, beware. Watch what your children are looking at. And if they quickly turn it off, then you know. Then you check it out. And there are stations that you can, somehow you can cut them off, but they cannot look at it. Okay? All right, now you still miss the big one.
Possession?
The Yanks and the Mets and the Red Sox. Baseball. How many hours does it take you to watch a baseball game? Especially that 15-inning one, right? The other night? The Yankees won, though. You remember that? But we can spend time like that? This is what I'm trying. We spend time. We waste time. And it's an idol. Not that baseball is bad. I'm not saying baseball is bad. You can go and you can yell. Here you can't praise the Lord. Some of you fellas, I can't even hear you. But if I took you to a baseball game, you'd get up and you'd shout and you'd root and you'd yell, right? Right, fellas?
Right.
Right. Yeah. That you have a voice for. And you're rooting just for a baseball team? But you put all your energy into it? Why can't we praise the Lord like that? You got a bass voice, you got a tenor voice. Can't open your mouth to praise God for what He's done for us. And so these are all what? Idols? Do you have a list now of them? You got the list? Let me see if I covered all. Oh yeah. They have these games. Do young people, you young people, games? I don't know what you play it with. What do you play it with? Videos? You know what I'm talking about? I don't know. I never saw one, but I see kids play all kinds of games. And I'm just telling you, it's a waste of our time. It's not all bad. But when we give too much time to all these things, and we put these things before God, then it is sinful. All right? Now, you excuse me for talking the way I have. But I'm a mother, I'm a grandmother, and I'm a great-grandmother. And I'm concerned. I'm really concerned about the future of these generations. I'm really concerned. Are you? Does it bother you a little bit? From what you see and what you hear? And you think, oh, I hope my children, my grandchildren don't get involved in all these things and forget God. It's a temptation, right? The temptation. I didn't have those temptations. These things didn't exist when I was a teenager. And I'm glad I didn't miss anything. I don't think I missed anything. And so we have a song in our songbook. I think it is. Jesus calls us from the worship of this vain world's golden store. From each idol that would, what?
Keep us.
And so these songwriters knew that there were idols, and we have to flee. All right, young people? Now, if you have time tonight, it might be a little bit late, But I would suggest you do these booklets the night before. So when you come in the morning, you can share, all right? Especially on the last question. Everyone, Brother Philip, put what verse spoke to you? How can you apply this scripture to your life? And then you could tell us. And in that way, you'll be a blessing to all of us. So we will be using this every day. Plus, open your book to, I think it's the first page, right after the first page. It says, the coming of the Lord. And it's a blank page. And in the book, two books of Thessalonians, 20 times or 20 verses speak about the second coming of the Lord. That was a popular subject, and Jesus had just gone to heaven just a few 60 years maybe before. But it was they were looking for Jesus to come. Now you can list here every verse. Every time you find a verse about Jesus is coming, list it down. I'll give you the first one. It's chapter 110, the chapter we read today. They left serving idols, and they wanted to wait for the God's Son from heaven, who is going to deliver them from the wrath to come. That's your first reference, 110. So every time you read your chapter, you'll find a verse. I'm almost sure, almost every chapter. All right? Thank you for your participation. Thank you for answering me. And I hope I've convicted you a little bit. Not me. Let's believe that God's Spirit has convicted you, all right? Because I told you the truth. I'm not telling you anything that I've made up. It's my observation, and I'm sure that God knows what's going on in the world today. Do you think He knows? You think God knows? You think He sees? Do you think He hears? You know, there's a motto that says, God is the head of this house. The unseen guest at every meal. And the silent listener to every conversation. Is that scary? I wonder what he thinks about our dining room here at camp. So he's the unseen guest at your table. And he's a silent listener to everything that goes on in that dining room. And sometimes I would like to get up and say, would this table please be quiet for 10 minutes? It gets so loud. It gets so loud in the dining room. And if he's the silent guest and the silent listener, do you think what you say in the dining room is pleasing? Is it edifying? Does it build people up, or is it a lot of nonsense? Answer me. What do you think? You don't want to commit yourself, huh? Maybe I'll ask some of you to come and sit at my table. Okay? Be my guest. No, this is serious business. This is serious business. This is God's camp. And God hears and He sees everything that we do. And it always should be holiness unto the Lord. Okay, have I said enough? Have I said enough? Yes or no? Or you want me to say some more? No, I'm not going to say no more.
I think there was one idol that maybe we didn't mention. But that is an idol that we often stumble at as young people, and that's our friends. Can friends be an idol? The Bible says for us to guard our heart. Guard your heart. Because the thing that you love will eventually control you. And we say that we love God, but really there are a lot of other things that we love. They take various expressions in our lives, but they show us, if we're honest about it, they show us what we really love, what's really important in our lives. I believe that each of you love God. You wouldn't be here if you didn't love God. But the thing that He desires is all of your love. Do you understand that? And we like to divide it up. We'd like to keep a little bit for ourselves, right? We'd like to have our things that we like to keep them. And say, well, Lord, you know, I think it's okay. I do love you, I want to serve you, but, let me hold on to this. And that is where the thing that we don't give to God, that's where the enemy has a hold on you. Understand that? The thing that is not given to God, our theme in these days for the camp for this year was kept for the Master's use. Kept for the Master's use. But God can only keep what you give Him. So we want to give Him our whole heart. We don't want to have these idols in our lives. Cast down every idol, throne, reign supreme, and reign alone. That song, I can still remember singing that here at camp at a boys' retreat. I must have been maybe 14, 15 years old. Somehow that's never left me, that time, that moment when we sang that. And Holy Ghost with light divine, shine into this heart of mine. We need the Holy Spirit to examine our hearts. Search me, O God. Know my heart. Try me, O Savior. And we ought to do that tonight. Now we're going to sing this song. But I did just want to say one more thing before we sing. And that in the reading for today, if you read Kept for the Master's Use, it was on the hands. Anybody read that today? About the hands? And the author makes this statement that we can't ask the Lord to keep our hands or even to take our hands and use them for His glory if we are holding other things, things of the world. And it's only when we're willing to let go, to let them go, to release them as it were, that God will be able to take our hands and let them move at the impulse of His love. And she asked this question, what are you filling your hands with? What are you using your hands for? Very practical, very practical, just like what we heard tonight. Very practical, but very spiritual, because this is where our religion meets the real world. And it's wonderful to talk about these things. It's wonderful. God's Word is wonderful. Wonderful truths. But if it doesn't change the way we live, if it doesn't work when I'm not at camp, then what value does it have? Tell me. And yes, we implicate ourselves. We say we're guilty. We are. You gave yourself away tonight. And that's okay. It's okay because we can bring it to the Lord and let Him make the changes in our hearts. And so, what was I saying? About our hands, right? Our hands. What do we hold in our hands? We can hold the Bible in our hands, right? We can hold the hymn book in our hands. What else can we hold in our hands?
A pen.
A pen, yes, to write, to study. But what else do we hold? We hold a cell phone. We move the mouse. What else do we do with our hands? Huh? What books do we hold with our hands? What magazines do we hold with our hands? And she went on like that. Go home and read it. You've got so many things to do tonight, I tell you. You have a lot of things to do. But then she said, every time you're about to do something with your hand, remember that that hand has been given to God. It's not my hand. It's His. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of thy love. And so it becomes very practical, doesn't it? Is that a good thing? If we could just look at our hands, see what our hands are used for, and every time we see our hands, remember that this hand is not my hand, it belongs to God. And so as we sing this song, Jesus calls us. Jesus calls us. I just want us to, first of all, consider what we're singing. And I want you to understand just one more thing, and I'm sorry, I'm one of those that talks too long. I know that, but the Lord wants us to respond. The Lord wants us to respond to His call. The Lord wants to take us not away from things for the sake of taking us away from things. Why is it that we want the idols to come down? Why is it? Because the idols keep us from having a real relationship with our God. And so we're separated from, but we're also separated unto. We're separated unto our God. It's not only that we're separated. Why are we separated from the world? Why does the Bible call us to be holy? It's so that we can have a relationship with God. That we can fulfill as His creation and for what He intended. We're made for God. We're made to be His dwelling place. You and I, have you thought about that? A temple of the Holy Spirit. And so He calls us this way. He speaks to us this way. He wants us to turn from idols so that we can turn to the true and living God. And that's such a wonderful thing. Somehow we think that we need these things to be happy, right? We need these things to be fulfilled. We need these things to fill our lives. When really what we need is for Jesus to come and Jesus to fill us. And so tonight as we sing this song and then as we go to prayer, I want you to just really deal with God and be honest with God. Be honest with Him. And allow His Holy Spirit to put His finger upon things that aren't right. Is that what you desire? I want that. I want that. How about you? Are we willing for God to search our hearts? Oh, God. We sing, show me the things of which I am unconscious. Even there are things that we might not even know about. Lord, show me those things so that they may depart. So let's sing, and then let's go to prayer. But I want you to take this word tonight, the words that you've heard, take them very seriously. They were said in a way that we could receive them. They were said in a way that we could understand. I can put my arms around what was said tonight. I understand it. And you did too. And so now let's go to prayer and say, God, you show me, Lord, what you want to change. the idols that I have to, as it were, throw down, allow you to remove from my life. And may these hands be truly given to you so that you could keep them. Let's stand as we sing 357. Because that's really, really what we need to get into our hearts. It's because of His great mercy for us. And He just asks us to give our hearts to Him. To obey Him and to love Him best of all. Let's sing that again.
Jesus calls us by Thy mercies, Savior may.
Let's go to prayer. I'm not going to dismiss you, but I'd like you to stay as long as you feel the Lord wants you to stay. But deal with Him tonight. Talk to Him about the things that you've heard. Let's go to prayer.